God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
Well, the God of the universe created the world. He didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. Welcome to Disciples View. Thank you for supporting AFR, not just with your ears, but as monthly donors. You allow us to say things like we're going to say this hour that are not to be said in ways that are not to be said, not in this state of being. I was over the weekend blessed with an opportunity to sit with some men. They're young men, but they are now men. Not chronologically, yes, they're 18. Just 18. But beyond chronology. They're acting as men because they're spiritual fathers to younger kids. How utterly beautiful. And what a blessing that God allowed me to purchase really good pizza for them. What a joy. I was talking to one young man, and I wanted to remind him of the potency of language, and I want to remind us of how potent language is. It's not a mistake that God called Jesus the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God values words. So as we were sitting and eating, this young man who I have been mentoring, though recently he's been so busy mentoring others, coaching others, that we've not met as regularly as I would like, he said something about his sport. He is headed to college to play sports. And he's reluctant to do it in a way. College athletics can be a godless place. And he's aware of this. He does not want to fall. He does not want to move away from his walk with the Lord. So we've been talking about how can you be intentional to make sure that doesn't happen. One of the things I told him is join a church now. Join a church. Find a biblically solid, strict biblical church that's a disciple-making church. Join it now. Get on the phone with the pastor. Commit to things. Commit to discipleship meetings. Commit to an area of ministry. Commit yourself to the time and being in the church. So you are expected. And if you're not there, give that pastor license to reach into your life and say, where are you? You promised. But as we were talking, he was talking about state-level athletics, state championship level. And he said, well, there's just this team we can't beat because they have this one player we can't beat. And as I said to him, brother, let's think about your language. You have a team. You have one more opportunity to beat. You have a team. You have one more chance to defeat. You have a team you're excited to beat. You have a team you can't wait to defeat. I was talking about neuro-linguistic programming. One part of our minds is we're programmable. God saw fit to that, saw to that. He created neuroplasticity. Our minds are programmable. Dr. Carolyn Leaf, you've probably heard of, combines the Word with fixing people's brains. She draws her inspiration from the Bible. It says things like, well, effectively plant the Word of God in your minds, right? Program yourself. We can do this. So as I shared this with this young man, he blushed and said, you're right. Right, it's potent language. Another young man sitting next to him, also going to college on a sports scholarship, nodded and said, I started doing that a few years ago. It works. See, he recently had a bad run as a pitcher. He's a very talented kid. He's got a baseball scholarship. And he had a bad run as a pitcher, a couple bad games. But when he came into the dugout, he wasn't moribund. He wasn't sad. He was just thinking of where am I going to improve? And people asked him, why aren't you bummed out? Why didn't you throw your mitt or throw a fit? He said, oh, I've got the approval of God. I don't need the approval of man. So beautiful. So for general consumption, the reason I'm speaking this into the mic today is I also had this experience, and it was a few weeks ago with another youth group with which I work. And we were just doing some planning, and one of the leaders handed out a document to deal with transgender students. And I looked at it, and my heart skipped a beat, and I became angry. Holy Spirit spoke into me, and I raised my hand. And this young leader called on me, and I said, are we really going to use the word transgender? It's a lie. The word in and of itself is a lie. No one has ever been born in the wrong body. Not ever, not one time. I beg you, I beg us to use phrases like identifies as transgender, thinks they're transgender, gender confused, gender defiant, gender dysphoric, gender rebellious, gender denying. But do not let the enemy insert words in our mouths. Similar to when the devil took the Lord Jesus to a tall tower, said, prove you the Son of God, throw yourself down. It says, you'll not be bruised. He was not just trying to program Jesus, he was daring Jesus. What did Jesus do? He turned to the Word. Now, of course, Jesus Christ was and is the Word, so it was easier for him than it is for us, but he'd also in some ways divorced himself from his divinity, fully man, fully human. Remarkable that he turned to the Word. Words matter. God saw fit to show us that words matter. The United Methodist Church is collapsing, and it's collapsing due to words. It's collapsing due to falling for a massive con in terms of words. We're going to explore this today, but we're also going to explore how this has soaked into our colleges, how it's soaked into the Department of Defense, because it has. And it begins so often with a lie, for instance, on the college campuses. The corruption of the campuses is seen clearly if you look at the amount of money they have versus the amount of tax dollars they take, and you look at words like, they're fighting for peace on behalf of Hamas. Words matter. You are not fighting for peace on behalf of Hamas. The Methodists, the United Methodist Church, has seen a collapse when they embraced race division, dividing the body of Christ, climate communism. 25% of their churches split off. They've cut their budget 42% and then doubled down, enshrining same-sex unions, calling them marriages, enshrining social principles that are clearly communist, and you can see their church is collapsing budgetarily and in terms of attendance. But it was at their general conference where we saw how much words matter and how God does not like made-up words. I mean, God asked us and allowed us to, in fact, name the animals, didn't he? God sat and watched. Imagine this. As Adam was naming the animals, God sat and watched. And it was then that he said, it is not good that you're alone, because these animals are not doing it. So we're going to go through some statements made during this general conference of the United Methodist Church. And I want us to think about all the words and the way these words have been shoved down into the mouths of people, and the way these people are accepting being forced to speak these words. And think again about the power contained in the phrase, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And as we go through this today, please think about where you get your words. So often my words come from my flesh. When I do not start my day in the Word, and we'll talk about this tomorrow, something happens to me, and it's not good. I change. I revert. I'm no longer the changed being, the new entity in Christ, when I do not begin my day in the Word. Just now, I was sitting here tempted to open a document I've been working on, and to read it. So documents, I think it's an important one for a friend. And God said to me, hey, how about my word? You've worked a lot on that document. How about my word? Or do you love this friend more than you love me? I mean, he actually said this to me. So we're going to explore these things today. We're also going to explore some ways to fight corruption on the college campuses, not necessarily with government force, but with free market dynamics, because we have to fight this corruption. And I'm going to give you a warning. If you rely on TRICARE to care for your family, if you are retired military or military at all, and relying on TRICARE, the Department of Defense, to treat your families, you need to know what they're doing to kids and families, because the Department of Defense has decided to join in on pushing transgenderism. And we're right back to that lie, that word. We're right back to me sitting at dinner with this dear man, young man, but man, and saying to him, your words matter. Do not program yourself to tell yourself you cannot defeat this sports team. Do not program yourself to believe you cannot defeat this particular player. Instead, think about the excitement of finally doing it and get excited for that. So we are going to go on offense today. We're going to talk about countering lies by making sure we go to the source of where all good words come from. And let's work together, knowing that God made our minds programmable, as we go through the show today, to program ourselves for not defense, but offense. It's not often we do that. I don't do that enough. So often I've been reactionary in the show, not today. So you hear these words from the United Methodist Church's General Conference. You'll hear the way they've been forced into people's mouths. We'll go through the specifics on how much money is being given to colleges versus their endowments, and some specific ways that you and I can work together to fight corruption. First idea, I'll give you a hint. It has to do with hands. We are God's hands, the hands of the body of Christ, and eyes and ears. And one of the things the elite universities have done is brilliant. They've created another lie. Working with your hands is dead end. In other words, being in construction means you're always going to be swinging a hammer. You're always going to be a tool user, and there's nothing wrong with being a tool user. Somehow, they forgot to tell these young people that, by the way, if you decide to go pursue a career in the trades, you can build a brilliant, great business, a multi-million dollar business, maybe a $100 million business, maybe a $1 billion business based upon the trades. No, that can only be done in the information economy. And they've done something else, treasure on earth. They do not speak of treasure in heaven because they do not understand it. So we'll explore this in depth today on A Disciple's View. And as always, I welcome your feedback. You can go to thetoddhermanshow.com and send us emails there to give us feedback on the program. That's thetoddhermanshow.com. And I read all the emails, even if I can't respond to all of them, although I'm getting better at that. When we come back, we'll get into the sounds from this general conference. We'll get into the specific monies and some very disturbing audio that came out from the weekend's protests. Is that what they are? Or riots? They're riots. Some very disturbing sounds about what happened to the students who were arrested, as we will explore corruption. Most disturbing of all is, why is it that a bunch of atheist, same-sex attracted kids were on their knees praying to who? There's a lot to cover. This is The Disciples' View. I'm Todd Herman. to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Long preamble in the last segment. God's word is important. He makes clear in his Bible that we can program ourselves, that we can program his word into us so we become more like the word. We can't be the word because Jesus is the word. But there are lie words. And the most obvious one is transgender. It does not exist. I will not speak it. I will say so-called, self-identified, gender rebellious, gender denying. I will not speak that or other lie words, but that's not the case for a former Christian church. The United Methodist Church is no longer Christian. It's not. They teach people to lie. They teach them to lie at their general conference. This is no longer a Christian faith. It's something. There was a great phrase I heard from Pastor Colin Smith, to whom I love to listen. You know what he said? If you're at war with sin, you're at peace with God. If you're at peace with sin, you're at war with God. So if you struggle, as I think all of us do, and I've been in a real season of wrestling, at least I can look at this and say, thank God I'm wrestling. Thank God I haven't given in. So at the General Conference, we see that this church is no longer Christian. This right here, this audio, is from the opening of the United Methodist Church's General Conference.
Language. Be respectful of the choice of language that is used, including avoiding exclusively male language for God. Be conscious of inferred power dynamics. For example, if titles are used for one group of people, they should be used for everyone.
Okay, so we're to use female pronouns for God? No. No, God is boss. He decided to be he. So from the outset, you're encouraging people to believe a lie. Why did God choose he? Don't know. I don't know that I see that in the Bible. I just know that God did that. Does it mean he doesn't love women? No, that's silly. It's utter silliness. The fact is, the Lord said the only time he said his creation was not good when women were not there. The title of special helper that he gave women, he gives himself. Of course God loves women. But from the outset, a simple statement like that indicates that the United Methodist Church has decided to not be Christian. It gets worse. Here's more from the United Methodist Church's General Conference.
Becca Gorrell, clergy, New England Annual Conference, she, her, hers, queer, white, adult. I'm very sorry to do this.
Bishop Thomas Lang, deacon, Greater New Jersey, adult white male.
Thank you, Bishop. Good morning, friends. I am Scott Brewer, a cisgendered white lay male delegate from the Great Plains Conference.
Go ahead.
My name is Carol Zagsma, clergy delegate from Minnesota, white, female, gay, adult, with pronouns she and her.
And my name's Andy Hendren, white, male, straight, adult.
My name is Stacy Current, California, Nevada, clergy, black woman.
Sherry Hiller, Oklahoma Annual Conference, laity, white, adult, female.
At least some people didn't use the pronouns. The pronouns themselves are, of course, an offense to God. We can look at you and see that you're a man or a woman. God created you that way. It is not respectful to lie to anyone, let alone to God. So when the United Methodist Church decided to take these words and shove them into people's mouths, they were just like, it's almost like a reverse communion. It's almost like a reverse sacrament. We take the communion, and I know that beliefs differ in this. In the evangelical church, it's communicated as representing the body of Christ, the Catholic Church. It is through what the priest is able to do, it becomes the body of Christ, and traditions differ. When we do that, of course, we do it with hearts open to hear from God. We do this only if we have no hanging issues with other Christians. If we do, and we're in prepared to take the take communion, we're to stop. It's a sacred moment. To take lies and tell a Christian congregation, open your mouths and let us insert a lie. It's reverse of this. This is my body given for you for the forgiveness of sins. This is my blood. This is Satan saying, these are my lies. Make them part of you. The church is not Christian. So what is it? Well, it's at war with God. How do I know? Because it's at peace with sin. It's at peace with being a false prophet, false teacher, making it doubly at war with God. There are people in that church body who are still there and know this stuff is wrong. And I get it. I've been through a church circumstance like this where I've seen a church changing and you're so loyal, you want to stay and fight. Don't. If you stay and fight, make sure that your kids know you're fighting. Make sure that you know that they know this teaching is wrong. Don't take your kids to that for teaching. Fight. Fight to get on the governance board. Fight to win elections if that's how it's done, if you must do that. But never let your kids be exposed to this stuff. Because you can end up with kids like this. The college campuses are not churches and they're not cathedrals, but they teach words. I fail to believe that these kids on these college campuses suddenly have some deep, deep knowledge about Gaza. I don't believe it. I believe they've been programmed. Satan is a liar, thief, and a murderer. He cannot create, he cannot invent, he cannot experience joy, he cannot have love, but he can use our minds, particularly people who do not know the Lord. Oh, he can mess with us Christians. He can distract us, depress us, he can distort things, but he can't inhabit us. There's the Holy Spirit within us, the kingdom of heaven within us. Hell has no place there. But people who do not believe, Satan once again in reverse as a lying pretend angel of light. Or you're fighting for peace by standing with Hamas. You are fighting for peace by standing with an organization that has pledged to murder every single Jew. You're standing for peace. You're standing for human rights, as you see them. The right, of course, to same-sex marriage. Same-sex attraction in Gaza will get you murdered if you act on it. Lies. Satan is programming these kids' minds because their minds are absent of the word. Now, he need not mess with them. Why? He's limited. He's not omnipotent. He's not omniscient. So why would he mess with these kids? After all, he's got them. They're apart from Christ. Why wouldn't he go concentrate on believers and trying to mess with us? He is. But with these kids, this is an army. I can't say this clearly enough. Satan is now building ground troops. It's no longer just rhetorical. It's no longer just Hollywood and ideas. He has but he's gone from the area of ideas like this fallen former Christian church, this United Methodist Church, which is no longer Christian. He's gone from that into the physical realm. According to this report, protesters arrested at UCLA were immediately released without even setting foot inside the jail, got handed citations, and you paid for some takeout breakfasts they got to enjoy with their friends.
She says she's a student, and she's just being released. As I said, you'll see she has a citation. She also has her breakfast here, and she certainly will be supported by other protesters who have also been released in front of the Twin Towers Correctional Facility, as well as fellow protesters who are here just to welcome them as they leave the facility here. By the way, they're not being brought inside the facility itself. From what I understand, they're being processed at a parking lot outside as they are bused in here from the UCLA campus.
That's from Good Morning LA, CBS affiliate, Good Morning LA. There's no consequences. Well, there are eternal consequences. When these young people, one day old people, die, God may ask them, hey, why did you try to get my chosen people murdered? Why did you do that? Why did you try to get Israel destroyed? What's up with that? I don't think God says what's up with that, because he already knows what's up, and I don't think he speaks that way. So the way that Satan inserted lies into the mouths of people standing up to speak pronouns as a in just obscene reverse communion. So here, he's inserted lies into the intellects of these young people. I'm fighting for peace on behalf of a terrorist group. This is why in this program we pay such careful attention to language, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Satan twists, not always scripture, just twists ideas, but this. In a second, we're going to talk about how to fight corruption on the college campuses, because this is beyond corrupt. In the video, people with purple hair who proclaim themselves as non-binary and or same-sex attracted are bowing and praying to the false god, Allah.
If you're praying, go up there, but if you're not, the rest of the field.
Here in the background?
No, I'm talking to somebody else. We're trying not to
use the here in the background?
I'm outside. I'm outside. I'm outside.
Many of those kids are not Muslim. They're engaged in a ceremony they don't understand on behalf of a false god who I think is satanic. Words matter. There is no God but Allah. Just go to the Ten Commandments. One day, God forbid, if we don't do our jobs and reach these young people for Christ, one day they may sit in front of God and he may say, why were you praying to a false God? But he may say to us, what'd you do about it? No, I know you did a radio show, Todd, but what'd you do about it? One of the reasons I work with young people is I love it. The other is because I must. Columbia University, with a massive, massive endowment, has $1.2 billion per year in tax money. Harvard, down in the middle of this list, has $676 million. They have a $60 billion endowment. Any of these universities could provide free college for everybody if they simply just use the interest on those endowments. They'd never need to touch the principal. We need to destroy corruption on the college campuses. Here's some ideas. Hey, if you take federal money, you're going to open up every single class to anyone in America who wants to watch them. Why? Do you need a degree to run a business? No. Do you need one? If you have the knowledge of marketing and sales and financial projecting and financial tracking and managing a P&L, do you need the piece of paper that says you graduated from Harvard? Nope. Can you learn that on your own? Sure. But why, since they take our tax monies, don't we just go watch their classes for free? After all, it's ours. We're paying for it. If we were to take that step, the next step is this. Create tests at the state level. I'm a state certified business management person, or demand of the colleges. Everyone gets to take the MBA exam. Everybody. Everybody gets to write a thesis. Everybody. They don't get to talk to the professors. They don't get to ask questions, but they all get to write a thesis, and it will be reviewed. And by the way, you don't get to know whether it's someone who's in your class or someone who's out of your class. You just review the thesis with a number. It's anonymized. You grade it, not knowing whether that person sits in your class or not. We can open up the marketplace. There's one other thing we should do as family, and that is speak of trades. See, one of the things that the elite universities have done is they have created a lie about working in the trades. What they've created in kids' minds is, hey, you don't want to go start driving a backhoe or work in an HVAC because you don't want to sit there, have the rest of your life be driving this machine or going out and clearing toilets. Okay, what if I do want that to be my life? What if I like that better than sitting in an office? What if I don't want to run a construction business? But here's the lie. No, you can buy a backhoe eventually, your own, and then hire someone else to drive it, and then buy another and hire someone else to drive it. And then you can be like my friend John, who is a multi-millionaire, probably 20 or 30 times over, who still works every day but has people working for him. You know what he spends most of his time doing? In ministry. We need to speak knowledgeably about these trades to our kids and grandkids. These words, these lies, have washed over into TRICARE and the DOD. If you are military family or love military families, you need to know what's going on there. We'll get to that and also the Tower of Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Coming up, Tower Babbling. We've been talking about refusing to speak the words that Satan would insert in our mouths in a form of reverse, perverse communion. That word, one of them, is transgenderism. We gave the example of young people saying, I fight for peace on behalf of Hamas. Mm-mm, you don't. You fight for Hamas. I think you're fighting for the devil. We've been talking as well about something Pastor Colin Smith said, which is so, so good. If you are at war with sin, you're at peace with God. If you are at peace with sin, you're at war with God. The Department of Defense is at war with God. This is an article from The Federalist. It's a very, very important read. I encourage you to go find it. It's about what the Department of Defense is doing to parents and kids. It's written by Amy Haywood. The Department of Defense is pushing the lie of transgenderism on kids, parents, part of her piece. Parents across the United States are being restricted from accessing their adolescent children's online health records. We've talked about this, of course. Not only are military parents barred from accessing all but basic information on the 13 to 17-year-olds in the military's online care portal, but the adolescent minor is also not allowed to have a user log on until 18, meaning they can do whatever they want very, very secretly. Congress has tried to fight this, but it's not been successful. Military insurance provider TRICARE finally issued a press release in March explaining the Department of Defense that restricts parents from adolescent records in the portal. Military health system, it's called Genesis, by the way. They said it's as well as sensitive physical records parents can't have in a system called Genesis. In that system, are apparently kids who are getting wrong sex hormones, being put on the path to mutilation surgeries. Congress had tried to stop this, but they didn't get it done. Still happening with your tax dollars. Again, straight from the Federalist, quoting the piece, today adolescents can receive confidential care on military bases and in school-based clinics. For example, Joint Base Lewis-McChord's Madigan Army Medical Center's adolescent clinic offers subspecialty care for so-called transgender confusion, sexuality issues, and substance use, among other services. Madigan also runs a system of school-based health clinics in 10 area schools. Dependents on TRICARE Prime Insurance can visit the clinic once each week. If military parents aren't affirming of a so-called transgender identity, activist group's PFLAG recommends that children talk with a school counselor, the on-base youth military family life counselor, or a chaplain, if that chaplain is from a confirming denomination, such as the United Methodist, which is no longer a Christian church or body, or an online friend or peer group. These groups, by the way, are working with the Department of Defense to make sure your kids can talk to an affirming adult. Affirming a lie is a lie. I will not do it. I beg you to not do it. The Department of Defense has big problems beyond transing kids. That is to put that in their mind, that lie, that you're something that does not and cannot exist. They've also got a morale problem and a competence problem at the very, very top. Denise Williams, a Gold Star mother, explains why she can never again vote for figurehead Biden.
The only decision I have is there's nothing that can induce me to vote for Biden.
Okay. Tell me why.
I'm a Gold Star mother. That means my son was killed in Afghanistan. And I can never forgive, and nor can most of the Gold Stars that I know forgive August 26, 2021, when, because of Biden's debacle, the withdrawal was so badly done, there are 13 more members of the family in the club that none of us wanted to join. Mm-hmm. Then standing on the tarmac and checking his watch. And then, just to put the icing on the cake, repeatedly claiming that his son, Bo, died in Iraq. That is beyond despicable, unforgivable. There is nothing that can move that needle for me.
I understand. And I would just beg Denise, beg her to think of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us today our daily trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And yes, the prayer continues, but that's the important part in respond to Miss Williams or Mrs. Williams. That means the Lord will forgive you in equal measure with you forgiving another. It doesn't do anything for figurehead Biden at all if you forgive him, for you cannot forgive his sins. You can forgive his trespasses. You can forgive him for sinning against you, but you cannot forgive his sins. Only God can do that. It does something for you. It brings you closer to God, who's anxious to forgive. And it gives God invitation to forgive you in same measure as you forgive others. Joe Biden is not a wise man. He's addled. He's demented. He's corrupt. And on this program, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites that I think do back up my notion that God lets these people have these temporary moments of shining in the sun with their wisdom. Bill Gates, who was involved with an effort to fight so-called global cooling that was rebranded as global warming, then rebranded as climate change, he was involved in an effort to block the sun by shooting masses of particles into the air, but says that trees metabolizing carbon dioxide is nonsense.
I don't plant trees. There's a lot of people who are very enamored with trees. We've got trees on this stage. Some people would even say that if you just planted enough trees, it could take care of the climate issue altogether.
And that's complete nonsense.
Okay.
I mean, are we the science people or are we the idiots? Which one do we want to be?
That's weird because I'd heard that trees metabolize carbon dioxide and actually use it as fuel. I know I'd read that somewhere. Yes, that's right. I began to learn that when we made our first ecosystem when I was in third grade. Yeah, we made a global ecosystem. Our teachers bought these plastic globes and we put plants inside them. And then we put some little animals, some bugs and stuff in there. And then we sealed them up. And wait, how'd that happen that they lived? There was no air getting in. In third grade, they explained to us, here's how. I stand, well, I'm actually sitting, amazed that Bill Gates is willing to lie this way. But the lies have perhaps been inserted into him. Or he's just so anxious for power. So again, one day Bill Gates is going to die. He's going to sit in front of the Lord. And at that judgment day, at that throne, God may say to him, Bill, why did you pretend my trees don't metabolize carbon dioxide? Why'd you do that to people? Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. I hope I'm getting her name right. I don't mean to do it wrong if I am. Kaoli Vang Her, a state rep in Minnesota. She is apparently something called a woman. She does not want women to have access to guns in their homes because women are not well trained enough.
When seconds matter, I would not have saved myself. You have to shoot at least 1,000 rounds and then do 100 rounds per month in order to maintain proficiency. People with firearms in their homes are more likely to get hurt themselves. If seconds matter and if I am afraid, I will very likely not be able to effectively use my firearm and that firearm will get used against me.
Okay, but you're not everybody. And there's plenty of people who do use their firearm and they're women that are well-trained. She's actually stating that women should not have access to it, to firearms, because they don't know how to use them, but women can go out and learn to use them anytime they decide to go out and learn to use them. And she belongs in the Tower of Babbling. Last soundbite in today's Tower of Babbling. Marie Adele Grosso is a student at Columbia University. Listen to her discuss with great wisdom and knowledge something about which she knows nothing.
Do you think Israel has a right to exist?
I believe Palestinians have a right to equal rights. I believe Palestinians have a right to return to their homelands. Since 75 years ago, Palestinians have been systematically forced out of their homes. And
do you think Israel has a right to exist?
I'm so sorry. I have a longer answer to this question.
A longer answer that, by the way, did not end with yes. It ended with she's not certain that Israel ever really existed. Columbia University inserting lies into the open mouths of kids. This is why we concentrate so much on words. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. And I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
I often wrap up the show with a personal observation. It's just a way of me offering something of myself in exchange for all the time you spend with us on this program. And I do this so you can understand a little bit about the formation of who I am as a host. It took me a long time, I think, to understand the phrase, God does not call the equipped, but equips the called. In a moment of self-pity, a friend taught that to me. A few years ago, I was really, really suffering from allowing myself to do comparisons. I was looking at other people's healthy daughters, and our daughter at that time was really, really struggling. Coming out of the struggle, so much of this due to the work of my wife and getting her off of the poisonous number of pills that we allowed her to get put on in her treatment center after that horrible, horrible thing was done to my daughter that changed who she was for a bit. God has rescued her. And it was a very tough time. and the family was dysfunctional. My fault. I'm to lead the family. I accept that responsibility. My fault. And it was so utterly painful. I remember seeing these comparisons, and one day after a discipleship group, a guy I'd never met, but I'd heard all about, because I come from a background in wrestling and sports, and anybody who knew college wrestling in my era knew this guy, because he was a part savage on the mat and part technician. He knew every possible move, and he knew it by heart. That's why he was one of the top wrestlers in the world. So when I realized, oh, that's Kevin's last name? Oh, he's that Kevin. Even as a man in my 50s, I remember thinking, wow, that's that Kevin. I'd never spoken to him. After the discipleship group, this man walked up to me and he said, hey, I just wanted to check in with you. You didn't seem yourself today. Where are you at? And the Holy Spirit spoke into me and I was completely transparent. I said, first of all, nice to meet you, Kevin. I'm Todd. And I'm just really struggling with comparisons. And I told him some things that these involve other people. I'll be as open with you as on anything. But when it involves other people's struggles, I have respect for their struggles. My wife is really struggling with some stuff, really, really badly. So I spoke these words to Kevin. And he said, hey, I've got time. Do you? Let's sit down and have coffee. And so we did. He shared with me some horrible seasons he went through in his marriage. His wife has passed. And in that discussion, he said, I asked God, why me? Are you doing that? I said, I don't know that I'm directly doing that. He goes, are you comparing what other people have versus what you have? Yeah. Well, then you're asking God, why me? Why do I have this and not that? He said, Todd, has it ever occurred to you that God selected you for this because you can shoulder it, because he equipped you for this? Think of the ways God's equipped you for this. And there it was. My father had spent his entire career working with damaged kids, damaged teens. My mother, her entire life, had a master's in education, helping with kids and family structure so that families didn't fall apart. And there it was. God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. I was called to help with this. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak, and until God decides you and I can all chat again together. May the peace of the Lord, which transcends all understanding, wash over you. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.